Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 5th of July. Joining us this morning, no fifth in the room, Bill McCauley.
No, sir.
At least I can't tell.
No.
What there is.
No. No fifth.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe a fifth's taken.
Yeah.
But not consumed.
I could plead that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You ready for our why do we say that?
I doubt it.
Okay. Well, this is kind of like an easy one. Because I think most all of us are recognizing it. So that just ratchets up the expectation level here.
Yeah.
Sandwich. Why do we say sandwich?
Because of the Earl of Sandwich.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Anytime you eat a sandwich, you help to perpetuate the memory of an English nobleman in the 18th century. John Montagu, 4th Earl of Sandwich, became the first Lord of the Admiralty in 1748. Anytime he could slip away from his offices for an hour or two, he indulged his passion for gambling. Since his time was usually limited, he often directed a servant to bring him roast beef between two slices of bread so he could eat it at the gaming table. He may not have been the first to enjoy this concoction, but he was clearly the only world leader who did so frequently in public. And as a result, his royal title of sandwich attached to this early form of fast food, and sandwich soon became familiar throughout the world. See?
Well, that was in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. So many levels. Well, I know you go deep in English history, too. So between that and being a fan of sandwiches.
I can barely speak English.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. And considering the definitions of some of the words is kind of intriguing also what's been going on. In the last couple of weeks at all levels in the country. Not allowing facts to get in the way of a good diatribe, huh?
Well, that's what our political system's been relegated to. It's a shame, and I've said this before, but, you know, unfortunately our politicians engage in behavior I wouldn't have allowed my kids to engage in, and they treat it as normal and think that we should just expect it.
And then when caught, explained away. I love the one with the speaker kind of nudging the kid out of the picture and then claiming that she was helping put her in the front of the picture. Caught on film and in video. It's like, come on. That is so funny. Any of the stuff that is coming through, you know, I suppose we could talk about the federal gas tax initially, rolling back 18 cents. I think that just got laughed at and laughed down. I mean, is there any thought that that's actually going to be put in play?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask that question. I have no idea whether, you know, what will or won't get put in place.
Because that was all at the pump, right?
Yeah, right.
They were just going to roll it back at the pump and not worry about it.
Right. I think ultimately the what we're seeing with gasoline is you've got some competing viewpoints, you know, at loggerheads right now. You've got a segment of our governmental leaders, whether they be elected or bureaucratic, who have concluded it would be in our best interest to get off of fossil fuels as soon as possible, and so therefore at whatever cost, and you know.
There's a huge amount of cost. This infrastructure that doesn't exist yet would really take, I mean, they're talking about investments, hundreds of billions of dollars to make that even
we're gonna take,
possible.
The problem with it is you end up with running the risk of what California's done with water policy. You know, if you think about in California, we haven't increased any capacity for water in many, many years, and yet we do nothing to really minimize our demand for water other than periodically say, well, you can't have it. And so we're running into the same kind of mindset. You know, you have to. It's one thing to say that change needs to happen, and then you need to prepare for it.
Logically, I think fomenting sequentially,
change for the sake of change because you believe it's the right thing without really ensuring that you have the appropriate infrastructure built in to be able to accommodate the change you desire is irresponsible.
Well, one of the things we found out getting set to build the house is we have to have an EV in the garage. Wait a minute. We have no vehicle, but that doesn't matter. Solar on the roof?
Mm-hmm.
Got to have that.
Yeah. And
okay, so, but that's only going to offset the
percentage
electricity.
What days are going to be sunny there, Brian?
Yeah, well, I know what our hopes are.
Realistically.
But, yeah.
This is part and parcel of, on one hand, you hear people complaining because housing is so expensive in California. On the other hand, some of those same people are out there arguing and affecting change that causes costs to escalate dramatically. Well, which is it? I mean, here, okay, I guess I'm old enough that maybe this is... Maybe this is I don't care anymore. Here, we locked up the McKay track.
Right.
And then we're going, we don't have anywhere to build housing. Who's the dummy?
You're right. Yeah, it's...
I mean,
and it's not even unintended consequences.
Shouldn't we have thought about that and said maybe we shouldn't lock up the entire McKay track? Maybe it's the only place functional. Well, there's another, but you know, there's not many places for Eureka to expand or the Eureka area to expand and have additional places for people to live.
Yeah, you got the place out in Cutting that everybody was excited about.
Right, and it's going to be a very expensive development. McKay track would be too, but it would be, it's contiguous to existing development. And anyway, so the point is nothing's easy, but when you take away options and then you stand around and stomp your feet because there's no options, you know, again,
people laugh and point at you at that point.
Yeah. I wasn't part of the decision making. There's probably lots of reasons why decisions got made the way they were that I don't understand.
But from the outside looking
in.
But
this is just, from 30,000 feet, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
You're
up entirely to 30 now, not 25, huh?
I don't think the whole thing should have been locked up. But I don't think the whole thing, you know, some of it should
have been set aside either. Yeah,
clearly.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, looking at some of the different proposals, the gas one that the governor is looking at. We had a couple of roads people in and managers of cities, and they went, oh, no, we don't want to roll it back at the gas pump because those dollars go towards roads and infrastructure.
Yeah, and we get such phenomenal roads.
Yeah,
out of it.
Well, they were using some pretty boxcar numbers and they were much more in favor of a rebate process rather than at the gas pump itself.
That's totally logical from that perspective.
Yeah,
and you can see. I mean, one of the things that I think is really to the I've been pretty fairly critical personally about some things the city of Eureka have done, particularly relating to parking and some other very short-sighted things that the city has done. That being said, I think that the city has been smart. They've been paving roads and in town, and then they've been putting up signs going, this was funded by Measure.
The marketing.
Yeah, and I think that's really smart. And I think it's, you know, every time I see a freshly paved, well-repaired road in Eureka, I think, hey, that's great. And you know, it makes me, anyway, so congratulations.
A little salve in the wound, yeah.
Congratulations to the city of Eureka for, number one, going out there and getting some of these really damaged streets repaired. And number two, being smart enough to realize that we need to let people know, thank you for voting to support this with your discretionary dollars.
Yeah, the communication.
Yeah, so I think that's great. So
as we look at what the current proposal is with the gas, documentation of income, household income is part of the equation. Dependents are part of the equation. But they're talking about it happening before the end of the tax year. Or the end of the calendar year.
October is what we're
A couple weeks before a certain election for a certain office, for a certain governor.
Oh, that's entirely coincidental. It would be very...
I must be a narrow-minded kind of guy there.
Well, clearly. But beyond that, I mean, I think from the standpoint that, obviously, if our politicians are going to get traction... I mean, look, this budget that was crafted in secret. They daylighted it for the required 3 days. Now, why is it that when one party controls the whole state, they can't do things in public?
Right.
You know, this is it is what it is. But really, we can't have a more transparent process for adopting budgets. There's going to be, a dozen or more trailer bills on this budget process? This budget, by the way, the budget deadline... It's been known for a long time.
Right.
Matter of fact, we knew that in June of 2022, we were going to need a budget. We knew that 20 years ago.
Yep.
So it's no surprise, and yet we're not getting we don't get what we pay for in terms of our elected officials for doing their job and being transparent about it. We should be able to see what's happening and what's being done and what policy changes are being affected through this budgetary process.
It was on the assembly floor.
Oh, it has to be in print.
Historically.
It has to be in print for 3 days. So, we've had it in print for 3 days. Now we can pass it. Yeah. Does anybody who's voting on it really know the details of it? Clearly, no.
Right. What was the grand line? I feel uncomfortable bringing Pelosi up again. You know, vote on it, and then we'll read it.
Yeah, that was the Affordable Care Act.
The gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
So with the discussion with these gas... rebates,
yeah.
I guess. Taxable, non-taxable, free money, pennies from heaven. How's it being positioned at this point other than we care? Wait
I don't know.
That was something else, wasn't it?
I don't know if it's taxable. Yeah. I think it's
not
likely
that much.
Not to be, because normally you wouldn't have a deduction, unless you're in a trade or business, you wouldn't have a deduction for the cost of that you incur for the gas tax. So I'm fairly confident but depending on how they structure it, until we see the details, we don't really know for sure. And we've also seen California make some fairly serious drafting errors in legislation with unintended consequences, because the code sections they referenced for revenue recognition, as an example, were not the ones they intended to. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, that doesn't work for this reason. Then they have to go back and fix it. So we don't know. I'm assuming it's not going to be taxable, but I don't know that. I don't know how they're going to send out checks. It's going to be based on your 2020 income.
So not even last year.
So, yeah, and you have to, in order to
2020, that was in the middle of the COVID stuff, right?
Right.
So everybody's income... might have been less, or many people.
I don't know, but I mean,
I almost use that absolute.
I mean, we have
many people's income has changed rather significantly since then.
We've had in 2021 and forward, we've had pretty substantial increases in the price of gas. If you look at what it was in 2020, it was actually relatively low compared to where it's been in 2021, 2022.
Yeah, with today's reference, yeah.
So it's interesting that we're using 2020 as the reference point for the income for determining how much of this rebate people are going to get when, anyway, just it. But on the other hand, it's the one that's in the bag. So from the standpoint, you can see why they would do it because
it's known.
We know what that number is, and otherwise you'd have to wait until October 15th, 2022 to know who would file for 2021. So that's the reason we're using that look back, I think.
Well, you're saying it's logical?
I'm saying it's understandable.
Okay. Don't want to go too far out on that branch. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley. So with some of the activity that is going on, I know it's kind of a goofy time of the year to be thinking about planning, but the stock market's been going up, down, sideways. We've been dealing with inflation. We've been dealing with a whole bunch of other things as a country in the last 6 months. Is it a fool's errand to even be thinking about what to do as far as the remainder of this year, financially speaking?
Well, the classic answer is it depends. If your circumstances are not varying a lot year to year, there's probably not an awful lot you're going to need to do unless there's some other change that we see that comes up in the tax law. Sometimes what we see is there's a change and it kind of prompts quick action or a course correction, because all of a sudden you go, what we were assuming up to this point is now different, and we now need to make sure that we're doing the smart thing.
And significant change. Yeah.
Right. And that's not for relatively immaterial items, but for the bigger things. And so we don't know what's coming. Last year, for context, in 2021, the state passed a new piece of tax law, which is, for those people it benefits, it's important, but it's arcane, and so I don't want to go too far into the weeds on it, but it's called the pass-through entity elective tax. And so it meant that for people who operated a business in either an S corporation or a partnership or an LLC or even a trust, there was the ability to avoid the $10,000 limit on state and local income tax deduction that's imposed under the federal law. That came about with the tax law that was passed early on in the Trump administration. And so for a long time, what we would normally characterize as dark blue states have been arguing that SALT cap, state and local tax cap, was unfair and punished their residents greater than it would other areas. And that's probably true because those states are heavy taxers in general. You know, you're looking at New York and California and some of the others. And California's looking at, there's going to be a ballot measure for another 1.75% tax on incomes over $2 million. So we're not done here in California, making it unattractive for high-income people to live here. This thing came about, and they passed it in the middle of the year, and we kept waiting for clarification about, there was a myriad of questions, and so we're trying to figure out how do we affect this for clients, how do we advise clients or suggest help clients navigate this thing. And you know, we were in crisis mode in December because we didn't know a bunch of stuff. And we finally said, okay, we have to make decisions. And we were communicating with clients and giving them a chance, you know, saying, hey, look, this is where, under this set of circumstances. And then we made, clients made some decisions. They had to make payments by December 31 in order to get a benefit for 2021. And that was all fine. And then in March, they changed the rules again and, you know, they passed a new law. So anyway, these things happen. And that's the kind of thing where all of a sudden, you know, you want to get out ahead of it, but you can't because you don't know what the rules are. And
then it gets put together last minute, and it's a train wreck.
And to be fair, it's complicated. You know, in California,
but isn't that why you start
stuff,
in advance?
Always does stuff extra complicated, right? You know, although you know, I look at Oregon's got a similar tax. Theirs actually didn't come into effect until 2022, and theirs is much simpler. It's refundable, where the California tax isn't refundable. You know, there's some things that they did, I think, better in Oregon. But on the other hand, there's some issues with how Oregon did it, too, that I think maybe California was a little better on. So pick and choose, right? Pick your poison.
Earthquakes or hurricanes.
Yeah. So the point being, yes, there's always these things that come up, and they create, all of a sudden, there's a flurry of things that need to get done. This whole pass-through entity elective tax thing bubbled back up in June because people had to make payments by June 15th to be able to elect it for 2022, even if they hadn't already done it in 2021. And so we had to communicate that with our clients and make sure that they understood what their options were so they could decide if they wanted to do something. But
so for this year, are there others that's going to serve as a template for? Or is this year, do you think, going to be a little bit more straightforward?
Don't know. It's one of those things. We just don't know what's going to, you know, as things stand, you know, as would be normal if, you know, if we're looking and based on the current discussion right now. I mean, we have a political year that tends to absorb the attention and focus of our elected officials. Sometimes that's good because it keeps them from doing dumb stuff.
That's what I was saying, you know, more static.
I mean, look, dumb's in the eye of the beholder. You're dumb. My dumb might be your brilliant, and vice versa, right? And I'm I
you know
respect
I've had a lot of people tell me that too.
I've had lots of people. Brian, we probably shouldn't go into that.
Yeah, but, yeah.
We'll talk offline.
A little too much history there. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So if we don't know where we are and we can't use yesterday as a reference, is there any need to worry about any planning for the future other than watching the stock market if you are there and trying to anticipate, you know, what indices are going to go up, which ones are going to tank, and whether or not if we're semi-retired or retired, we need to go back to work?
Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting questions that people are going to be facing this year. One of the big ones you just hit on, which is people's net worth have taken a hit. People who are at or near retirement age are going to be evaluating, wait a minute, my portfolio was worth X.
Not anymore.
You know, at the start of the year, and now it's worth X minus 20%. Or whatever the number.
Well, that's what they were talking about in 2008 when we were a little bit chipper and not quite so sensitive to these things. That a lot of folks that had anticipated retiring took back their letters of resignation and kept plugging away.
I know people that were in that boat, and so I think that, you know, it also points something out though, and part of the challenge with our monetary policy has really done us a disservice over time. We've been trying to avoid a recession for we go out of our way to try to avoid recessions. We've kept the economy going by keeping interest rates down unrealistically low. And we have basically said, well, the way we're going to pay for that is that people who've saved money aren't going to be able to make any money on the money they've saved, because we're not going to pay them any interest. Because, you know, so interest rates on deposits were very low. Interest rates on loans were very low. Most institutions who are banks and that, they make money on the spread between those two rates.
Low.
Yeah. And so that all that got squeezed down. And so now we're in a position where all of a sudden interest rates are going up, and it's we're seeing now, okay, that's going to affect the economy as we let these interest rates go, which is why they've tried to keep
that's
them
the
unrealistically
concept.
Low all the
yeah.
time. So it's interesting just to see when you interfere in the economy, you can avoid some of the ups and downs. You can smooth the ride out a little bit and keep the trajectory. But when you get a bump, sometimes it's a bigger bump.
One of the various sites, a buddy sent this to me, was talking about that because the economy is where it is and the housing, what was it? It was like 0.7% growth in May. I mean, so it's certainly flattening out, and applications have changed, and you know, they're accomplishing some of the desired outcomes. Is that we may not see those increases now that they've been talking about. Maybe it's a 0.25, or, and this was the interesting thing, they may cut in the third quarter and take it back down. This is a guy that kind of hit a home run during the real estate bubble mm-hmm. and saw some stuff. So I don't think anybody really knows what's going to be coming around. And the Fed, the governors, it probably depends on who you talk to, what their opinions are, too.
These folks have all been wrong all along.
Right.
So
why should they hit it right this time? Yeah.
At some point, you know, even a blind elephant catches a peanut, right? So they'll get it right.
What happened to the squirrel? The elephant step on the squirrel?
Yeah. My father-in-law uses monkey. So anyway, everybody's
banana? Got it.
Yeah. So, no, he uses peanut. So, anyway, but anyway, I think it's really interesting. And I don't know. You know, anybody who tells you they know what's going to happen, I mean,
it would be nice if we knew what the indicators were that would share a likelihood of something. It's something is going to change, something's not going to change. You know, like moving all so many of these auto manufacturers, bringing them on shore. Great. Sounds good. When does it start to hit? 2-3 years. 4-5 years. Okay. So all the trumpeting that's going on now, but the lag period before the impact really hits the marketplace, we forget about that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, we're going to see that locally. You know, we have this hullabaloo, and very exciting news that Humboldt State is now Cal Poly Humboldt. And then you've got the practical reality of how do you get there?
Yeah, now what?
From here.
Right.
And there, you know.
And the fish also.
Yeah, I think there's some very exciting things going on here. Transoceanic cable,
right.
You know, potentially the offshore wind farm. All this stuff is really interesting potential, you know, for us here in this community, and I think it's very exciting.
So what makes more sense, to pay attention to the national stuff or pay attention to the local stuff? As far as either business planning, personal planning, how to anticipate, what to think, what to look for. It's really easy to get sucked into the swamp. It's real easy to get Pollyannish about Humboldt. You know, obviously, the reality is going to be between somewhere.
Well, we've always been kind of, for lack of a better term, we've always kind of been in kind of a semi-recessionary economy. You know, it's never been. I mean, we've had cannabis that's been under the radar. You know, as our traditional industries have receded. You know, cannabis kind of undergirded that at a cost. And so now it's going to be interesting to see how what that looks like. And as cannabis changes, what's that going to be? You know, what are we going to look like here? You know,
and what does a robust economy look like here? others in the neighborhood have experienced it. We haven't.
No, I would argue we haven't, yeah.
What does that look like? Yeah. Well, okay, not for the last 100 years.
Right.
Fine. Yeah, point taken. I think we're out. The duck has flown.
You might remember that.
Get away. You're the older one, not me. See everybody tomorrow.